Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. Zach.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
You don't need to say this.
Yeah,
but thank you,
it's
regardless.
Zach's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh my God, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
He didn't want to
right
record
now?
Today, and I said, we're recording on your birthday.
Oh my God.
He wanted to take his arm off to get him.
Yep. Love it.
No, but we're many happy returns, Zach.
Thank you so much.
Well, we've got two great guests with us today. They are the co-host of the Friends Talk Frasier podcast. They are actors and writers. Please welcome Victoria Longwell and Talia Tabin.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy birthday, Zach.
Happy birthday, Zach.
Yeah.
I actually said I would only do the podcast on your birthday, so I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's why we didn't record last week.
That's right.
That's right. I had dug my heels in.
Yeah. Said, wait till the birthday.
Unmovable. She was unmovable.
We were lucky it was only a week away because I'd have waited the whole year.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We would have had to wait for this episode to pop up eventually.
Wait, yeah. So does that mean Sagittarius?
That's correct. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
You and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Good company. Good company.
You guys have a lot in common.
Yes. We both play guitar.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
And not a lot of people can say that.
Not a lot of people can. Not me.
Not everybody.
Yeah. So, Victoria and Talia, have you ever watched an episode of Baywatch before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. I watched it growing up. I watched it when I was younger. I knew the words to the opening credits.
Amazing.
And
yes.
I didn't remember that. I was
trippy.
I was like, maybe I watched Baywatch, and then I knew the words.
Like when it popped up this time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I don't remember much of it, but I just remember like I watched it in and out, kind of like must have been like on TV after school, and I was like, I don't know how to watch this. I remember David Hasselhoff, but I don't remember, and I remember the woman
Pamela Anderson.
She wasn't in this one.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, we have possible answers for why she's not in this one.
Oh, okay. Got it. But I vividly remember the woman who is going out with the new guy, Scott.
Oh, Stephanie.
The woman who lived in a montage.
Yeah.
And there's so much to talk about. This episode was the craziest episode of television I've ever seen in my life. And I used to watch it.
They're all like this, though. So that's the thing is
it's unheard of.
The show is just like crazy episode after crazy episode.
Pretty much. Even
a bad episode of Baywatch is still the craziest episode of television you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
You talking about the theme song, Talia, I feel like I must have watched some episodes as a kid because I remember Pamela Anderson on it, but also I couldn't tell you a story. I did not remember the theme song.
Nothing.
And what I thought about the theme song was it was very confusing. I could not get the theme of the theme song. Like, what is the genre? I feel both fun and flirty and also scared. And then I watched the show and I was like, oh,
the theme song is perfect.
It's perfect.
That's perfect. Fun and flirty and also scared. Yeah.
Talia, do you remember the lyrics like right now?
No, okay.
It has to be like on one of those things.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, I was trying to remember them just now, and I'm like, I don't remember what they are. It's like
people stand in the darkness, afraid to step into the light.
Oh, okay.
See, that's a crazy lyric.
Yeah. The end of surrender's in sight. Don't you worry, it's going to be all right. Because I'm always ready. I won't let you out of my sight.
Oh, okay.
And like, I knew it.
Yeah, I'll be ready. Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's the lifeguard's code.
I
honestly do think that this theme song would low-key make a really good karaoke song.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It's interesting that it hasn't kind of, like, slipped into the karaoke lexicon, because it is, like, a full 2-minute, 45-second
they play all their music from beginning to end.
Yeah,
the whole time.
The montage is a classic Baywatch hallmark.
Time waster.
This one actually had... I guess you could count the like water skiing at the beginning as like kind of a mini montage, but
I mean, it was so long.
It definitely didn't have lyrics, which is the only thing that generally, like, usually they are a song that usually talks about exactly what is going on.
It was listed in the end credits, though, that there was a montage song for that montage.
Okay. So you go.
Yeah, that technically is. I actually was going to say, I thought there was maybe three montages because there's a third one when they play football. It's like a mini montage, but it's very montagey.
A banana scene where, I'll say it later. I'll say it later.
So much to say.
Who knew you could just walk up to people and be like, hey, we're going to play.
Thank you. This is my question.
Yeah. A lot of things. But I want to ask you. Let's just jump into the recap.
All right, let's do it.
So this is the season finale, season 4, episode 22, Guys and Dolls, season 4 in the bag.
This is the last episode.
Yeah. Fabulous. That's what it's about. It's about guys and it's about dolls.
Can you believe it applied?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And it did.
Yes, it did.
We open in Hong Kong.
Right off the bat,
in a painted picture. Sure.
A painting.
Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Right off the bat, we're like in a Ninja Turtles movie or something. It was wild.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny. Oh, yeah. I was just going to say this. Classic Baywatch, they have this opening scene, sort of a scene, if you can call it that, just a snippet. Mm-hmm. And then they don't address it for a long time. And then when it comes back, you're like, oh, yeah, there was that thing at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Yeah. Essentially what we find out is that they're packing this shipment of dolls to send to this 20-year-old woman across the ocean. It's not like an international like crime syndicate. It's just this one con artist who is getting diamonds for some reason. And is she conning those people who have the diamonds, or is she a diamond smuggler?
Who benefits from this?
Right.
Yeah.
Because if she gets to fence the diamonds, like sell them, then does somebody on the other side of the ocean benefit as well?
Is it possible she packed the crate herself and then took a flight? Because she's like, I don't want
to.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like,
did we not partially see the woman who packed it? We didn't. We just saw the hands.
Hands.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I projected a woman into the scene in my mind.
I thought it was a woman packing it as well. What I thought, but it wasn't 100% clear.
Yeah.
You guys, I have to ask you a Baywatch question.
Sure.
Now, do you think that every script is like 20 pages long?
So we know the answer to this because Zach has a signed Baywatch script, and where a normal 1-hour drama would be about 65 pages, his is 41.
Wow.
I mean, there was no dialogue. Mm-mm. Every scene was like 5 lines and then we're out. And then it's like, I thought TV was like all words and movies were visual, but this is an exclusively visual show.
Yeah.
So are you saying this is a cinematic show?
This is a perfectly cinematic show.
Talia.
And I was bored. If you need to show someone doing something, a perfect example is I'm talking about the scene in which the partner hears that she has been spotted, and then he slowly walks down the stairs, goes, gets into his car, starts the car, puts the car in drive, and then drives off, which is like 50 seconds of screen time because they're like, we're not writing more dialogue for this.
What about that beginning montage? This is also something I want to talk about. You have to be the most athletic actor. Like, I could never have been on this show.
Yeah.
You have to be able to water ski. The main Linda, Nancy, Rachel, was running hard.
She was running hard. She was like full James Bourne running.
Yeah.
Is that who I mean? Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne, James Bond.
I got what you're saying.
They're both runners.
Yeah.
She's from, I was really excited to see her.
My So-Called Life.
Nice. And she's so great on it.
This is also her
second episode of Baywatch.
As
a different character.
As a different character.
Yes. Yeah. She
That's
was in
so
a
cool.
season two yeah. episode called The Trophy, parts 1 and 2.
Good for her.
Yeah. One of the low marks of Baywatch episodes, which we won't go into right now. But there's a lot of clever stunt work as well. One of the boat drivers later on, Numi, who they talk about, is a character on the show, but is also a real life lifeguard who was a lifeguard consultant on this show, and so he advises a lot of the technical aspects of the show.
So they're doing it right.
Yeah, they really did it right. Yeah. And so, after we know that this is a going to Marina Del Rey, this crate. And then we cut to Malibu. And we've got Matt Brody water skiing. And there's a girl on the rocks as the surf is crashing. And she gets hit by a wave and knocked into the water.
What was going on here? I like thinking about this now after what we find out is, was this part of her plan? And like, how is that a plan?
I don't understand. It's, I honestly thought we were going to find out that what was in those things were drugs, because the way that she's like, I was relaxing. I was just relaxing. Yeah, it's like, what the hell are you talking about? You're just relaxing. Just,
also like, she could have only been there for 35 seconds yes. before this would have affected her. But she torrential seemed like she'd been waves. Sitting there for a yeah. long. I yeah. mean, it was like where you go stand in front of a water ride at a, yes, an amusement exactly. park. She got rocked.
Like, it looked dangerous, honestly. I was like, those are huge waves behind her.
Yeah. Also, like, was her big get to like get the young lifeguard's attention? Right.
That's what I don't understand. That's
she
what
I think it was to get money $100.
I
need $100, so I'm going to almost die.
Make money. Yes,
she's a con artist, not a pickpocket. So
right.
it has to be a convoluted
game. Yeah,
she couldn't go to Beverly Hills to a fancy steakhouse and put on a dress.
No,
and con pretend some to choke person or, that yeah. was yeah, nothing. Yeah. No, she was like this lifeguard.
Yeah,
is gonna cough it up.
And then she knows enough about Hollywood to be like, I need a headshot and a resume. And if I don't have that, and she took the pictures for the headshot, but then had not paid for them yet. So she needed to go and get them, right? Which is why
that
she needed
$100. That felt fun nostalgia.
Yeah,
that was like, oh, cool.
When you had to print them out and bring them with you.
Yeah.
And before Venmo, before you could just send someone some money.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to go take the money.
And you know those were black and white as well, because in the 90s, every headshot was your black and white headshot.
Might even be some props. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, how old were they making her? Because I heard it was like somebody said like a teenager.
Child prodigy. So yeah, the actress at the time was 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess that's just her backstory that like he... Like out of like Oliver Twist or something.
Yeah,
he spotted her on the street and like trained her to be this
or
amazing
maybe
grifter.
Been training her for years, and she was a child prodigy who is now an adult prodigy.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so yeah, so we cut to Mitch on the beach, and Stephanie walks up with Scott Daniels. Scott Daniels was actually in a rare moment of continuity for Baywatch introduced the last episode. Normally Baywatch just kind of wipes the slate after every episode. Like,
love that.
Just so you know, there is an episode last season in which Mitch was paralyzed from the waist down. And then in the next episode, he's a kickboxing instructor, coach.
Stop it.
Sparring, like doing the whole thing. A recovery that probably took years happens over the course of, you know, a week. And then he's just a kickboxing instructor.
The
so
balls on these.
And we all let this happen.
Also, it's because there was no streaming or anything. So like, if you didn't watch it, you know, and then on syndication, they're just like air them in whatever order. Who cares?
Wait, you guys, where was Pam?
So Pam, okay, so yes. So Zach, did you want to explain?
Apparently this was trivia when it was still on Amazon Prime. They would have trivia on each episode. And one of them, they're like, This is like maybe what would you say, Charlie? Like halfway through or a little before halfway through the season,
yes.
They're like, this is one of the last episodes where Nicole Eggert, who plays Summer, and Pam Anderson, who plays CJ, appear on an episode together because they did not get along with each other. So then they started doing
drama.
Yeah, basically, it was like, okay, this will be a Summer episode, this will be a CJ episode, that kind of thing. There's like a two or three after that they kind of appear, but
yeah,
not
but
much.
They're generally not in the same scene. Yeah, like they said to have separate storylines. Oddly,
that's so cool.
And Pamela Anderson has not become like the. It's interesting because she is widely associated as like a full on force with the show,
right?
But she is. It is kind of one of those things where it's a toss up whether or not she'll appear in the episode. And she honestly doesn't get that many storylines actually devoted to her yet.
Probably next season though.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Because I wondered if maybe we'd passed her, like,
me
the
too.
Height of her
That's
on the show.
She was brand new as of season three. So there were two episodes of the two seasons of the show where she was not in it. Summer, Matt, and Pamela Anderson and Stephanie, none of those characters were in seasons one or two. There was a whole other cast besides Mitch.
Wow.
Can I just say some quick, very up top observations?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
One, David Hasselhoff, older than I thought he'd be on the show.
Well, I mean, Knight Rider was like 1980 or something, right? Yeah. When it started, I guess. So this is like 15 years.
He's like
years
the
or
dad
so.
Of the show, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got to be around 40 or approaching
that. I was
that.
Like, oh no, he's the Mitch of this show. But then I was like, no, he's not. He's the dad of the show.
Because I just remember him being like, and he is still attractive, handsome and whatever, but like, but Matt or whatever, isn't it? The guy.
Yeah, the younger guy.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
Matt's
oh my God,
really
I was like,
hot.
I think I had a crush on him back then.
Yeah. And then the other thing that just I couldn't stop looking at were people's eyebrows, specifically the women's eyebrows. I mean, that was just a real telltale sign of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was very hung up on the bathing suits.
Oh, yeah.
The bathing suits were incredible. And also, you know, I feel like One Piece's dropped off so much.
But they're back.
In 2000. They're back now. But, like, at the time, like, the One Piece was the sexy One Piece. And it was, like, tiny and skimpy. And it's, like, its whole thing. But it was very cool to wear a One Piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, also, if this was a summer episode... She had like three scenes.
Good point.
She wasn't even really involved.
She's barely involved. She, so halfway through this season, her and Matt started dating, and their relationship can be summed up by her just like being written as the naggiest girlfriend in the entire world. Just like legitimately always jealous, always mad, always like obsessed with him not paying enough attention to her and him like not wanting to spend any time with her.
It always feels like they hate each other.
It really does.
It felt like they hated each other.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out their vibe, but what about why she just left her bike outside? It wasn't even locked up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that was insane.
It's another sign of the times.
Two of her main scenes are like her like kind of like spying on what's going on with Matt and the other
kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then snitching.
Yeah.
Like, I saw her. I know where she is.
Yeah, she did do that.
Yeah. So this is when we learn that Scott has been transferred down from San Francisco because he's a part of the Coast Guard. And then Stephanie tries to bridge any gaps between them by saying that Scott trained with the Navy SEALs. And this was something that was dropped season 3 out of nowhere, never mentioned before. They were like, Mitch, they go like, did you have any military training? He's like, yeah, Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Wow.
They said this in an episode.
Navy SEAL.
So I was a little upset when they bring this up here and then Mitch just looks at him like, oh, wow, that's impressive. I'm like, but you're in the Navy
SEALs. You're a Navy SEAL.
That's what they told us, but I guess they don't care now.
Can I ask something? So David Hasselhoff is Mitch and the younger guy is Matt.
Mm-hmm. Matt.
And they thought that was, we'll have our two leads sound as
very
close
similar.
To
similar.
No, it's annoying. I would say it's even annoying note-wise because I'll do like just one initial. And I'm like, I can't do M if they're both in the scene. I'm like, oh.
They call him Brody sometimes too because that's his last name, Matt.
It should have been his first name.
Yeah, it should have been
Brody,
his first name.
Brody's a great cool Baywatch name.
Great,
yeah.
Great Baywatch name.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's kind of Jawsy, isn't it? It's kind of like Jaws.
Oh, like Jaws.
Yeah.
It's true.
We've had a lot of sharks on this show. So
have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd love a shark episode.
One main character was killed by a shark.
Yeah.
Stop it.
So we love talking about this episode. No, so essentially there's a massive middle of the episode moment in which she's attacked by a shark and she disappears under the water. And you're like, and then everyone's like, oh my God, no. And so it's like a big like, oh my God, she's dead. You cut to the hospital and she is still alive.
Doing great.
She's like reading a magazine and like
she has her arms.
And she just got bit in the midsection and so she's reading like Wuthering Heights and like just like rehabilitating. And then the next day Mitch walks into the hospital room.
Yeah.
And then the doctor's like, she took a turn for the worse over the night. She's dead.
It's like what? What?
And then she's gone.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like
feels like we could have adjusted. It could have made sense.
She should have just been dead then.
I think.
I can't believe they put in that.
Yeah.
Extra
she took a turn for the worse. Complications from shark bite.
Shark bite.
She was able to read, breathe on her own, eat, speak,
talk to
did
everyone.
Did she finish
normally.
The book?
I don't think so.
It was her favorite book. So she's read. Book? She'd obviously read it many times.
I
so
bet.
Didn't matter if not she finished it.
Yeah. No. I bet she never read it. Yeah. She was just trying to impress.
I think that was just the answer she gave too.
Yeah.
So we cut to Matt taking his stuff out of the laundry, and he finds this is Rachel at the moment, who later is both Linda and Diana.
Nancy.
And then, so then he...
Oh, we also have the big A&W cream soda machine right
there.
We just got to give a shout out to that.
Shout out to the A&W cream soda machine.
Glaring.
Yep. there's also been an episode where Hobie is an A&W cream soda vendor on the beach, and his cooler is stolen from him with all of his A&W in it. Yeah.
Wow.
Just really sad.
I want to point out, because the guys that steal it from him, as they're driving away, they all like taunt him and they hold up their A&W cream sodas like, yeah, we got these, which is a very funny product endorsement to me.
Very funny. I loved it. Kind of surprising.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And also, doesn't A&W do root beer?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, they do other things, but they're
every once in a while they mention
cream
the root beer.
Cream
soda
is the main thing.
Cream soda is the main thing. Yeah. So
I like their root beer.
They go, I've got the A&W cream soda, the root beer, all of it. And so then
also, I think there's a diet version of
yuck,
all of it.
Yeah.
So she says she doesn't have a phone number yet, but he tells her to stay off the seawalls and good luck with the audition. This is when she says, but my headshots. So he gives her $100. And then Summer enters and hides behind the corner as he tells her she could be the next Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And gives her a kiss on the cheek. And then we have the introduction of of Sam or Ed or
once again, what's going on with this guy? Once we find out what's going on with him, what is going on in this opening?
I honestly thought he was a drunk who was asleep. Yeah. Like it was like like a classic I don't use this term like classic like hobo.
Yeah.
Asleep on the beach.
Yeah.
Once,
in a suit.
Yeah.
Once we find out the truth of what his deal is, this actually makes more sense to me.
Okay.
But when we first meet him and then whatever, sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so he was asleep on the beach? Because
he can't sleep on the beach?
Because he's just so tired. Cancer's too bad.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, so I'm trying to figure out, because each of them are running a separate con because they are no longer partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But each of their cons involve a very convoluted way to meet a lifeguard. One is involved, put yourself in mortal risk of being crushed by waves. Second, be run over by a tractor. And like each of those, they could have just showed up at the station and be like, hey, I'm looking for my daughter.
100%. Looking for my daughter. Yeah. That makes more sense.
They're like there to help. But it's like they didn't want to just come out with asking for help. Oh, Spruce.
Everyone's giving these cons more credit than I did. I thought that she was just on that wall for an unrelated reason.
Okay.
I don't know why. Oh. And then he became her target once he picked her up. And I honestly believe that dude was just sleeping on the beach and got saved. Am I a dummy?
No, you might be right. We don't know.
I think that's what they wanted you to think. I think you were the
I was along for the ride.
Viewer.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, I'm watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of it. I'm on season 6.
So you're
Erica Jane just got there. But Eileen is there, and Eileen is married to Vinny Van Patten, who is the son of this actor, Dick Van Patten.
And in the last episode,
he just died.
Oh. Yeah, he died recently, right?
Yeah.
Season
6 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So whenever that was.
5 years ago.
Aren't they? So they're on 11 now?
Okay. Yeah, they're on 11 now. Okay. Anyway, I just was like, I know him.
That's wild.
Housewives.
Amazing.
Of
Beverly
Hills.
Wow. By the way, you know, Victoria, your theory that he's just sleeping on the beach. Now I'm thinking maybe yes. Is it possible he has no money on him? He went to like a hotel and was like,
I think
look,
right.
I'm going to have diamonds soon. I can pay you back for room. And they're like, no, we're
kind
not going to
like
accept that.
Like a blimpy in Popeye. I gladly pay you Tuesday for a hotel room today.
Yeah. So he had to go sleep on the beach instead.
Zach, I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think
Victoria and Zach.
Yeah.
Got to...
And I guess I feel like similarly, she could just be fretting on those rocks and then he ends up in her path and she's like, and you are now my target here.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think
that makes sense.
Well, and AJ Stanger, who plays Rachel, Nancy,
Linda,
is also, she is married to like a count. And so she is by marriage royalty. That's in her IMDb.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I really love that for her.
I can't wait to go look her up.
Me too.
On The Real Housewives of Sussex or whatever she's in. I don't know.
Which is next on my list to watch.
So essentially, Mitch runs on and then the tractor keeps going. And then Mitch realizes the guy might get run over by the tractor and goes and pulls him out of the way just in time.
Doesn't yell for the guy's name. Doesn't say, hey, guy in the tractor, stop. He runs faster than the tractor.
Which is amazing. I kind of interpreted it as Mitch was like so in the zone with doing his jogging. He saw the guy, he saw the tractor, but his mind was just like, I got to finish this rep.
Yeah.
And then check my pulse. Yeah. And then he did that. And then after that, he was like, okay, what else is going on? He's like, oh my God, a guy. And then he ran after it. But he was so in the zone that he almost let that man get killed.
Wow.
He was so in the zone. I think that's right. In my mind, I was like, maybe what's happening for David Hasselhoff is he sees that guy and then he sees the tractor and he's like, ooh, that could potentially be bad, but I don't totally want to go and have a weird interaction with either of these people. And then he's like, oh, you know what? He could die. I should go. But I think yours is more likely correct.
I also want to kind of follow the tractor driver for the rest of the episode because he's probably traumatized.
Yeah.
And like, it just keeps going over the, that was so close to killing man. Like just so close.
I didn't see him.
Yeah. The way he gets out, he's like, I didn't see him. Like he's so distraught. Oh my God. Yeah,
I did one more of that guy.
Is it normal in Baywatch to have a very dangerous tractor just going on the sand?
Yeah. So that apparently those go every morning still on the beach and they flatten. Really? That's why the footprints disappear. Cause like they just rake the beach to kind of smooth it out. Cool. So that,
Okay. So Baywatch did their homework.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did. Yeah.
That boat driver gave them that little bit of the consultant.
Yeah, he told him about the tractors. And he's like, and these things run over people all the time. So this is Mr. Krebs. And so this is twice in an episode that Mitch offers to buy someone a cup of coffee, which just means I will either make a cup of coffee or I will pour you a cup of coffee from the free coffee that we have at Baywatch.
The second time, maybe he's just kind of joking or whatever. But the first time, I would be disappointed if I was Henry. I'd be like, you told me you were taking me out to coffee and you brought me to headcoordinators and just gave me the
Mr. Krebs wants a refill, so he obviously liked it.
Fair enough, but I'm just saying, I'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah, I would be too. Also, especially since it seems like he's a little hard up for cash.
I'd like
him to buy him a cup of coffee. But the second time, he definitely at least approaches the Folgers can, though. He's about prepared to, but Stephanie's only there for like 10 seconds. She's basically like, hey, I'm thinking of staying this guy unless you want to get back together.
I have so many questions.
That was a wild scene. A wild scene, but we'll get there.
So this is when we learn about the backstory. They live in Ohio. Nancy's his daughter. I was too strict. She left for LA and wouldn't say where. This happens a lot where people randomly just go to LA and all of us live in LA, which is the biggest city in the entire world. Like literally it just is just a massive sprawl. Yet they always are able to pinpoint the exact location where someone is.
Well, she loves the beach, isn't the whole stretch of coast or anything. It's just one tiny part.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
When I go to the beach.
The beach. Mm-hmm.
And when I get there, I'm so tired, I'm just going to take a nap on the beach.
I mean, what about, he says he has 9 kids or 8 kids or something?
Right, yeah.
8 kids.
3 sons, 5 daughters.
They say when you lie to lie close to the truth, and I feel like he is not doing that.
Yeah.
Feel like he's like, oh, yeah, I have kids. 20.
All the kids. I have all the kids.
Yeah, and this is when he reveals that the doctor says he only has a few months to go and he wants to get things straightened out before the final gun goes off.
Wow. And I laughed out loud at that. It's the only time I've ever on a show someone's been like, I'm dying, and I laughed out loud. I was like, this episode's already crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's terminal?
Yeah. There was one episode. I've had one other time when someone died on the show, and I laughed out loud. And it was the episode with the killer sunscreen, where there was a woman that Mitch is like in love with. He's like in love with her, and she's like, "I'm gonna go come hang out by your tower."
Yeah, but I gotta put it real quick, Charlie. They met the day before.
The day before,
Mitch and this woman met the day before,
and he's that this is the woman he's gonna spend the rest of his life with. She comes and she's like, "I'm gonna hang outside your tower," and then he's like, "Hey, it's a sunny day, so make sure to put on your sunscreen." She does, and it turns out that someone has poisoned her sunscreen, and it's a topical thing. And so when he goes at the end of the day to check on her, because she's been out there laying down for like 9 hours, and he's like right next to the tower. He hasn't spoken to her or anything. And so he comes up and he's like, "Hey, are you okay?" And then he's like, "Somebody help me, she's dead."
Oh my God.
I definitely laughed out loud at that moment.
What are
the chances? Because that's comedy, because that's a comedy bit.
Yes.
It really is.
But Mitch is like, he like fully goes, like he snaps after this. He's like, and of course he says she was so full of life.
Yeah, he keeps saying that.
She's so full of life.
Anybody can be for one day.
Yeah. I would say if you're alive, you're full of life. And if you're dead, you're not. I mean, it's like either or.
Can I very quickly get some clarification on Mitch? When was he married? Was this on the show or pre-show?
It's actually pre-show, but we do get his ex-wife is on there sometimes. Yeah,
she is also from another 90s sitcom. Gail is her name, and she is played by Wendy Malick.
Yeah,
Just Shoot Me.
Yes,
and she's great. And she's been in a few episodes. They've you know, flirted with getting back together a couple of times because she lives in Ohio and she actually forfeited custody of Hobie. So Hobie lives full time with Mitch and Gail comes out every once in a while to visit. And then it's like a thing where Hobie's like, "I might go back and live with mom in Ohio." And then
it's like always a threat hanging over Mitch's head.
But they get along as well.
So quick question, Charlie, do you remember, is Summer and her mom from Ohio? I feel like they use Ohio all the time.
What's happening with Ohio?
What's going on? Yeah.
The Ohio to Malibu pipeline.
Yeah,
exactly.
I wonder. Yeah. Maybe, legally, they can only say Ohio.
You guys, sorry, we checked it out. We
got an Ohio agreement.
No, Kansas.
The Ohio Tourism Board has said it's okay.
It's another sponsor.
It's another sponsor.
You're right, yes.
Yeah.
Talia.
She's like, "Yeah, we came out here from Ohio. I love Ohio." okay, so Mitch is handing the picture around. Summer says he saw her this morning, but Matt says, "No, that's Rachel Henderson. She's an aspiring actress." And then big blow up between Summer and Brody over the $100. And we get a little comedy moment of Mitch trying to get a word in edgewise, but they're really going at each other.
I have a question for everyone. When after Matt goes, like, "She's an aspiring actress," and there's the name mix up, and then Summer goes, "Oh, maybe that's her stage name." I couldn't tell if she was mocking him. Oh, we had a lot of cat noise in the background.
Oh my God. I
am so sorry.
It's fine. We love it.
Knocked
we love
down
cat.
Something.
Take he knocked down a light.
Are you? Is it okay? Do you need to get it? Or
no, I'm okay. I'll grab it. But we can keep going.
I couldn't tell if Summer was mocking Matt or if she was like serious, like, "Oh, maybe that's her stage name." What was everyone else's interpretation?
Mocking.
It was mocking.
Like everything was a mock. She
everything
was
so
mocking. Pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, everything is like a dagger into Matt's heart. Like, "Oh, your girlfriend, that's her stage name. You love her. You gave her $100.
Yeah.
What? You've never given me $100.
Yeah. Summer was just like, "You could have spent that on me."
Yeah.
But to be fair, not having the context, I didn't know if Matt and Summer are dating and all of a sudden I'm Summer and I see him with this girl and she kisses him on the cheek.
Yeah.
And what is happening?
Yeah, no, it is weird.
It is a little weird. I would say
are they dating in this episode?
They are. Yeah.
What?
I know.
But are they in a big fight before this fight?
They're always in a fight. So there was one episode, Kelly Slater, who's a world famous surfer, used to be a cast member on the show. In his final episode, he and Matt essentially they have made a bet, I guess. And it's like, we're each going to like profess our love to Summer and whichever one she picks, because she used to be dating Jimmy Slade, which was Kelly Slater. Then Jimmy Slade was on a surfing expenditure, and then she started dating Matt Brody. So when it comes back, it's a conflict. And then they're like, we're going to make her decide. And whoever she picks, that's who. Or no, it's we're going to have a surfing contest.
We're going to have a surfing competition. And then their surfboards go into a cave and a giant octopus attacks everyone.
Yeah.
Matt saves Summer and she chooses Matt.
So that's how Summer gets attacked by the giant octopus as they're trying to rescue the surfboards. Matt saves her. Then she says, I love you. Jimmy Slade, who realizes that he's lost, says, I'm going to the North Shore of Hawaii and never returns and will not be on another episode.
Sadly.
But like, if I were your improv coach right now and you were improvising a description of an episode, I'd be like, okay, Charlie and Zach, maybe stay a little more grounded, play top of your intelligence there.
Giant octopus off the coast of Malibu. Why don't we bring it back down?
Is the genre like the Odyssey or what's happening?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What space and time are we in?
I guess I'm going to call that a group scene, but when you guys were just running kind of slow motion and doing different activities, no dialogue. What was that all about? I mean, I want to encourage you, but
what was the game?
Physical can be fun.
I did love this line when Matt is like, I grew up in Hollywood. I think I know when I see talent.
We all know that. We all know that feeling, right? Feeling when.
Yeah. He knows it.
I've feeling when you're in Hollywood.
I can spot
it. Yeah. You see it from a mile away.
So then
Mitch says, when she gets here, will you let me know so I can call her dad? And then he says, uh-oh. This is going to be an issue. Then we get, honestly, I don't know if you clocked this shot, but they do the weirdest pan shot I've ever seen where they start at the very top of palm trees and then pan all the way down to reveal Stephanie and Scott walking. And it is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, because at first I was like, what are we looking at? And it's the very top. And they just pan all the way down the 100 feet of palm tree to reveal a nothing.
There was too much going on for me to even clock that was weird.
Yes.
The following scene is so weird that I too felt.
Look, this is what people do when they go on for
when they're dating.
Dates.
Yeah,
they play handball, basketball.
You got to do all of them in the same day.
We go to see my ex. I really want you to meet my ex.
So we meet my ex, and he's going to tell me honestly whether or not he thinks you're right for me, because exes are famously impartial when it comes
But didn't it seem? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, go for
you,
it.
Didn't it seem
like David Hasselhoff was sad that she was there with a guy?
Absolutely.
Yes, I think
He didn't seem happy about it.
And then
that was very confusing me later. Yes.
I mean, that scene at the end, I'm saving it.
The prank breakup, which is everyone who's hilarious. In a relationship knows that would be a really funny prank for your partner to pull on you. Yeah.
I would say once a month, my boyfriend tells me seriously he's shipping out.
Yes. To Antarctica on an icebreaker.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
In that first scene with them, I definitely felt like Mitch was jealous of her. That's
okay,
why
me
I was,
too.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was odd when he's like, when Stephanie's like, he trained with the Navy SEALs for 2 weeks. And I was like, well, Mitch, this is where you say I was a Navy SEAL. That's there you go. You got one up on him. He said nothing. And I'm like, I guess they dropped that.
I think what she was trying to do was show that there was common ground between them, because
to
me, it was clear that she had already told him that he was a Navy SEAL and was saying, he did that. And Mitch didn't respond. But
she was
like
blanking
someone Victoria does improv and Talia saw an improv show. So you guys know.
I would be like, that's so fun. Where?
Yeah.
But David Hasselhoff is like, great.
Yeah, he says nothing.
Like stink eyes it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. My girlfriend once told me a story about how she went to a party and she didn't know anybody there except for the host. And the host was like trying to like be like, oh, here's someone for you to talk to. And so brought her over to someone and she was like, and he was like, hey, Alex, this is Vinish. Vinish, this is Alex. Alex wants to be a TV writer, and Vinish would like to own a food truck. and then walked away.
I feel like that person saw Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yeah.
I was
going to say the exact same thing. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Does that happen in Bridget Jones's Diary? Mm-hmm.
She like does a whole thing about how when you introduce people to each other, it's polite to do it with helpful information. That's exactly what that feels
but
like.
It was basically to walk away. So there you go. Funny. And then just left.
Yeah.
Honestly, a better introduction than most people do.
I guess so.
Fine. It gives me plenty to talk about.
At least those people can now talk about how wild what that host just did.
Was. I know, So, yes. So this montage is hugging, playing handball, smiling and laughing, playing basketball, high-fiving.
Did you guys notice not a lot of kissing on the mouth?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But Baywatch has had a good amount of kissing on the mouth.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if that was normal because I was like, this is supposed to be their like love montage scene.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of, it's a lot of neck where I'm going straight to your neck.
Yeah.
It made me think he wasn't long for this world and they aren't close and let's.
Right.
But I did think that montage looked like hell to film.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't that look awful?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it doesn't look fun.
You guys just keep spinning around and hugging and laughing.
They've done a few dating montages that are exactly that, which is like activity focused. Just like them going and just doing stuff. And then that is supposed to be how you show people bonding, not like sitting and talking or doing anything like that. It's like
it was fascinating. It was just fascinating. Oh, also at the table. They're looking at each other as if they're gonna go in for the kiss, and they do forehead to forehead.
They do the forehead.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
A thing I also do with my boyfriend all the time.
the forehead. Is it possible because we know Stephanie is still into Mitch, and we have a scene that just blows her mind coming up. Is that maybe she's pulling back and she doesn't want to kiss him on the lips?
Yeah,
something
I think
like
you're
that.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a little bit. They were like, "Don't go too hard in this montage."
Yeah. Well, we get that intense moralizing later on, which is, "Do you want to move in with someone? I don't believe in it before marriage."
Yeah. What was that?
And I don't believe in it.
What?
And neither Mitch nor Stephanie.
Yeah, he's like, okay.
They're both like, nope.
Well, his wife
it's a wild gamble.
Yeah, Gail didn't believe in it. Yeah, that's true. And then Stephanie
Gail
doesn't
set
either.
The standard.
So, maybe the kissing is part of that as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So. I'm thinking about marrying him, but no kissing.
No kissing.
Was the football scene part of that montage too?
Yes. No, football comes later.
It comes later, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Football is them just, I honestly just thought they were going to walk right through the middle of it.
That's what it seemed like.
It looked like they were just walking, and then they stop and they're like, we're joining this game.
I'm going to take off my shorts.
Yes.
So that I can play this game. That's what she did.
But I was like, do they know these people?
It didn't seem like it.
Didn't seem like it, yeah.
And we got some glamour shots of the participants of the game.
Yeah.
Some real male gaze there.
Yeah. I mean, it's Baywatch, baby. You gotta give them what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Matt enters, and it turns out that Rachel wasn't home. There wasn't even a home there. 747 Oceanfront Walk. So that address exists, but it is not a...
There's no,
or is it
I wonder, or it's like a business,
I really want to know if it's just like an empty lot or if it's like
just a mailbox. She's just trying to play for that football team or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's just got to have an address in district, she's running for city council. and so then, he says, you know what your problem is? You don't trust people to Summer,
and she says, your problem is that you do.
Yep.
And this is classic dialogue for them.
Henry Krebs, they're
in a relationship.
Yep. It's just all sniping.
Yeah.
Henry Krebs come in and they tell him that he put the name of Rachel Henderson on the rescue card. And then Henry says that Nancy has a way of getting what she wants. And they've distributed her photograph. And then he says, I'm going to send a letter to your chief. Tell you how help you've been. And when I find my daughter, you'll get your $100 back, but not until I find her.
I laughed so hard at that. I was like, you could give him the $100
now. You just
give
him $100.
Oh my God. And then he winks at him. Like,
it seemed menacing. It felt to me like he was like, I'm going to force her to hand you those bills right in front of me.
Which I think sets up the storyline.
Which was pretty good.
The dark, he beats me storyline.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. And then he finds in the dryer a perfectly preserved
didn't get messed up in the
days later.
Yeah. Days later, nobody else has done laundry in Baywatch headquarters.
Didn't bleed. Mm-mm. How lucky!
And it's made out to Rachel Henderson, and he just like nothing about this rings odd. Like not to like. There would just be something odd about it. It would be like, here's your thing for, here's your bill of sale for the shipment of dolls that's coming in from Hong Kong. When he finally catches her, how she's sprinted away from her.
Yeah.
Like an Olympian sprinter.
Yeah. So then the boat, she tries to get, she's like, where's the boat? Where's my shipment? And they said that the boat ran into some bad weather and won't be until tomorrow.
Yeah, I love this character. I was like, who is this guy? How does he know this information? He also seemed very New York to me, which I don't know. I was just like, a fun detail. He's like, hey, I'm working on this boat here. What do you want?
I mean, I
work the docks of Malibu.
Yeah. This is Baywatch's whole thing, is that if someone is a criminal or is connected to a criminal enterprise, they use criminal voice. So when these two reveal their real voices and they, hey, don't mess anything up. You move over there. I'm going to shoot you.
That was fun. It was fun.
That's funny.
I loved it.
Hey, that's so helpful to the audience. We know.
Yeah, we know they're bad. Yeah. Italians, man. Oh god!
But yeah, why would this boat? This guy just working on a boat. Yeah, like, I know when this other boat's coming in. Because just so everyone knows, this is just like a normal like dock, like where regular boats
like
are.
A shipping yard.
No,
we're not at like a shipping terminal. Yeah, this is just like a normal boat. But yeah, it ran into some bad weather. Yeah, and it would have to be like that would be communicated to some sort of, I don't know, you don't call it like mission control, but like the port authority. I don't know. Like
right.
Whatever your air traffic control for boats is.
Yeah.
Water control.
So, water control, water traffic control.
That made me laugh.
Matt pulls up and she takes off running. This is when she sprints and they go on a chase. And then when he catches her, he asks why she ran away, and she's like, you look so angry.
Yeah.
Just a funny excuse.
Just seeing someone looking mad at you, you're like, I don't want to find out why they're mad. I'm out of here.
You look so angry, it scared me.
And really so then we find out she her audition went so long. That she was late. We know how this happens.
I mean,
happens.
If anybody gets it, we get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least, I mean, hopefully the audition was in Santa Monica. She was at least close.
That's true.
Yeah.
No.
It was probably in Glendale.
Yeah, it was in Glendale.
Or 200 La Brea.
Damn.
Yeah, so no side streets or no freeways adjacent. But she got fired from the restaurant.
Yeah.
Lost her job.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I chase after you because your dad is looking for you and he needs to talk to you. And he tells her that her dad is dying. And she says, it's a trick. He's just trying to get you to help you find me.
Yeah.
And Matt says, or then she says her father's a maniac and he's going to beat her again. This is when they reveal that he's an animal.
Yeah.
And that he hits her.
You'd rip out his heart if you knew the things that he did to you.
That line was...
Rip out his heart.
That line.
Just half the things he
this,
did.
This
only half.
For 20 minutes, you'd rip out his heart.
Yeah. I would love to see that. Him just reach into his chest, pull out his still beating heart.
Really dark.
Yeah. It is,
So then she's like, I'll be there with the money. I'm going to bring it to you on your boat. And then he gives her the slip. And she's like, phew. But did she need it? She like just showed up to the boat and seemed like she was going to collect it without it.
Yeah.
But she seems very happy that she now has that tracking slip.
Yeah.
I don't know. So then this is football.
That slip made it through her falling into the ocean.
Yeah.
Her money
gone.
Oh, true.
Right. Which was maybe fake, but.
Yeah.
In retrospect, but
yeah, the money was most likely fake.
Yeah,
part of the con.
She just wanted 100 from him, I guess. Right?
Yeah, but you were along for the ride, Victoria. So you're like, there was money in there. There was headshot.
$100 bill flew out of her pocket.
Yeah,
but that slip was still in there.
Yeah,
ain't that wild?
So now this is football scene. They just walk up and ask to play. We get some beach football action, which ends in a touchdown. Also, he, like, the way that Scott throws the football is, like, an underhanded spiral. He, like, starts it here, and the way he runs, and he just goes like this and throws the football, which I've just never seen anybody
Seen, right?
And gets it to Stephanie, and she scores the touchdown. And then they probably walk away, and everyone's like, who the fuck was that?
Who were those people?
Just took over the game.
All right, let's play with our friends now.
Exactly.
I will say, these montages did make me hate this couple. I was like, go have a drink, you weirdos.
Yeah.
It could be coffee, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So then we cut to Hobie on the couch, and there's a knock on the door, and Stephanie comes in and he offers her a cream soda. And then we get a little foreshadowing, because we see all the stacks, the pallets of cream soda.
So much.
And when the fridge opens, it's completely and totally full.
Tell you have a lot of questions.
The logistics of this.
What's going on?
Yeah, where's their food?
Yes. Question number one.
Food, Mitch. We're just gonna let the kid put in all of these cold sodas. He doesn't need this many sodas.
No.
Also, put him in the garage.
Yeah.
Put him in the other room.
That's put five or six in at a time. Like, you know,
There's two of you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a question about this house too, because the living room really kind of suggested that it was a big fancy house, and then it is a big fancy house.
Yeah, I mean, at least
it's on the Venice Canal.
Or the canal.
So to me, it felt a little Venice, more California. Like Pasadena vibes.
No, he's there. He's right on the Venice Canal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did Mitch get the money?
He is a lifeguard.
They make pretty good money.
In this show, do the lifeguards make pretty good money?
In real life, lifeguards make pretty good money. So
He looked it up,
and a starting lifeguard salary for LA County, I mean, probably not enough to get that house, that's for sure. But it's $58,000 a year.
We can guess he's making six figures of some sort. We don't know the exact, because they never say what it was.
Six figures?
I think so.
Now, is he like in charge of this lifeguard precinct?
He's in charge of this precinct, yeah.
Okay, him and Stephanie, I think, are about equals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. But
they each are responsible. Wasn't it like she's responsible for the sand and he's responsible for the water or something
like that?
There's some sort of division of responsibility.
Yeah. But yeah, this house is like two-story. It's got several rooms. It's got a fireplace.
I mean, this is a multi-million dollar
fireplace.
House,
so, wow.
Yeah, it looked like a very fancy house.
This fireplace played a little trick on me, though, right, Zach?
Oh, because
it
the
was
fireplace
lit. And when the fireplace is lit, that's when Mitch makes love.
That's the sign. Honestly, like almost every episode, if the fireplace is there, romance is going with him.
So the kid had to go upstairs. Yes. So gotta get out of here. Came in.
Because it was lit and she starts making suggestive comments, I thought they were going to rekindle something. But
yeah.
It was a
they just about
herring.
Did, but decided not to. But it seemed like they both were like, yes, I still want to be with you. They just decided not to.
Yeah.
I didn't get that at all. I thought Mitch was like, I'm so uninterested in you.
Me too.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
I couldn't even bother to pretend.
And I was so confused.
He does like her. So so when she was introduced into the show, the way that she was introduced was that prior to her coming on the show, they had been involved in a romance.
Oh, okay.
They were supposed to go to Catalina together. She did not show up. And so it goes into like black and white, like Casablanca, of him waiting on the dock. And she doesn't show up, and it's like all
this
foggy.
Show is so crazy.
So then when she comes back, he's like really mad at her. He's like, you stood me up, you disappeared, I didn't know which was happening. And she's like, Mitch, I was married, and he didn't know. So it was like,
still an asshole.
It was separated. We were separated, and but then he wanted to get back together, so I went back, and then
decided to go back.
Now we're divorced. So it's been, and then there's been a couple of issues. There was one in which they went undercover on a party boat because there was some criminal enterprise going on in disguise, and then they like have sex a bunch when they're in disguise because they're like, oh my god, this is fun and fantasy.
Maybe
and
they
then,
need that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they need that.
Yeah.
That episode, you were led to believe like they are madly in love with each other. They're like the ultimate soulmates. But then, like, you know, next episode that's just dropped.
Yeah.
There definitely is something there, like chemistry there. But that is interesting to hear you both say that, like, I felt like Mitch just was not into her. And I can see that now. I guess me and Charlie are just basically going, like, what we know with their backstory.
You know,
like,
they both,
I
was confused because in that first scene with the montage couple, I was like, Mitch is so upset. He's so mad about this. And then when she came over, he was like, it's fine. He seems great. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's such, Oh, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned for people listening on the podcast, but it is wild to me because Stephanie comes in and basically is like, look, I'm thinking of getting serious with this guy. But Mitch, if you say you want to date me, fuck him. I'm going to drop him right now.
Yeah.
Let's me and you get back together. That's basically what she's saying here. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and so blatantly, like I was like, wow, she's not even beating around the bush here. She's like going right into it. And he's just like, we have a good friendship. Let's not mess up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he don't like you at all.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the moment where Mitch offers to buy her a cup of coffee. Now I'm thinking that something that's also funny is that Hobie offered her cream soda and she said yes. And then Mitch offered her a cup of coffee and she said yes. So she's like, just give me all the drinks.
So
like,
thirsty. She's
But they didn't give her any.
No, she got not a single drink.
She didn't get one liquid.
No.
She didn't get anything that she came for. She didn't get much either.
She really did. She left empty handed. Yeah,
I
felt bad.
I hate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also get a recall of Stephanie's previous trauma, which is still mind-blowing to me. So Stephanie's in the last episode, Stephanie goes and she participates in the lifeguard exchange program, which is something that happens all the time in Baywatch. They just are doing an exchange with everybody. And so this was with the Coast Guard, which is how she met Scott. And she is supposed to do helicopter jumps, you know, where you jump out of a helicopter in the water. And she has a panic attack and she keeps having a dream about a helicopter crash. But it's like very vague and stuff like that. And you're like, oh man, she was in a helicopter crash before. No, it turns out that her father was in Vietnam and died in a helicopter crash. And so she has PTSD about helicopters because of his crash. So the vision that she is having is of her father's helicopter crash.
Which she was not there for. She wasn't there though.
So she has and so she has to overcome her fear of helicopters.
What?
Yeah. She's to overcome her father's fear.
Her father's fear. Her father was not afraid of helicopters.
Well, that's right.
By the moment he should have been, he was
dead.
But he was fine. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's such a long walk.
Yeah. Such a long walk. This again is like if I were coaching you in improv and you were just learning about justifications and your justifications were too much.
Yeah, you'd be like, that wouldn't, I mean, like, I get
she could just be afraid.
Yeah, you could just be afraid of helicopters. They could be heights.
I've mentioned this on the podcast. I'm not a fan of helicopters. They can be dangerous. And I'm like, I don't want to go up in one. So
I'm kind of with you.
That's so fair.
When my parents were on their honeymoon, they were in Hawaii and they were sitting on the beach and they saw one of those helicopter tours and it was flying and then turned upside down, straight down in the water. Everybody.
No.
Yeah. Everybody died?
Mm-hmm. I've been on one of those. Mm-hmm. It could have been me.
Mm-hmm. And they just were like sitting on the beach and saw it happen.
I have PTSD.
Yes. Now.
From Charlie's parents.
Sorry. Sorry, Talia.
Sorry.
That's awful.
Oh my gosh.
But you can overcome it. Yeah. We also get this great conversation about him being in the military and her not wanting to move around a lot. And Mitch is like, well, we're not at war. And it's like, well, wait a few years. And also he is in the Coast Guard, which the Coast Guard famously does not really.
Yeah, that's what I didn't get into too.
Right.
Guard our coast. I think that's what they,
It's like the one that you're in if you don't
she was looking
do a
for
lot of combat.
Excuses.
Yes.
She doesn't want to be with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, and she says she finds herself holding back because he's like, are you thinking about having kids with this guy? And she's like, well, I don't know, you know? And then that's because she's like, we might get back together. And this is when I wrote down the fire is going. And Mitch says, we wouldn't want to ruin a great friendship, would we? And that was a very dismissive thing for you to say. I could understand, Victoria, why you were like, he is not into this. And she's like, oh, yeah, me too. I just wanted to make sure you felt that way before I got serious.
We're just friends.
Yeah. But then when she's leaving, he's like, Stephanie, good night.
And I didn't like that. I didn't like that. You tell me you don't want to be with me.
Right.
I'm fully giving
you
the
door.
The fire's raging and I'm ready to go. You shut it down and then you call me back to just wink at me with a little like, or are we just friends?
Yeah.
I don't like it, man.
I didn't like that either. Yeah.
Even her like little love crumbs as she leaves.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Keep,
in a way, great writing.
Yes.
Great writing.
Great writing. Although I didn't, I did not like.
Baywatch,
this
great
was the
Emmy
episode, I think. Yeah, what? I think this is the one they won the Emmy for.
Yeah, I didn't like the writing on Stephanie's line though. Right before this one, she's like, "Thanks for putting up with my insanity." I was like, "What?"
I know.
Putting it all on her. I'm like,
and she just expressed herself pretty honestly and clearly.
Perfectly.
Yeah,
perfectly. Not overly emotional. She was like very grounded and real of just like, this is how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Sorry. Mitch it's is like she's crazy out of her mind. Bitch
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's, right. Like, she's nuts.
Okay. The only thing, insane thing she said was that I'm a traditionalist. I'm not going to move in with him.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
I'll believe that.
Yeah.
No.
So we cut to the boat. And Matt is waiting for Rachel or Nancy to come. She comes and she's like, I need help. And this is the moment where we get, if I told you half the things he'd done, you'd want to rip his heart out. This is when he...
Wild line.
So he's like, then he's like, go to the police. And she's like, they won't do anything, which is we know to be true.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he says he's a pathological liar who deny everything. And she's like, I need to go back to the yacht club. So that was a yacht club.
Yeah, it's a yacht club. This is the other thing that's wild to me. This is not, it's in like a shipping container that these dolls are in, like a cargo ship, you would think, but it's just on someone's yacht that.
Yeah.
When, that's I guess, interesting.
And also wouldn't it take so long to get from Hong Kong to California?
On a yacht?
On a yacht. This is like weeks later.
Especially
or something.
Because we see when Henry decides to take the boat out, how slow, when like even when he's like,
yeah,
you've seen them, they left 15 minutes ago and I've like, they have gotten 200 feet
nowhere.
Off the
dock. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
basically the equivalent of just down the block.
Yeah,
yeah,
on the water. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, so he says I'll go along, and then he's like, if I see your father, I'll deal with it. And then Summer rides up and sees them, and she then looks and then it's like and rides off.
I really didn't care for Matt's whole conclusion here of, fine, I'll go with you, but then you have to face your abusive father.
Yeah.
I was like, leave her alone. Okay. No, she doesn't.
Maybe she doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it also weird that the two cons kept their lies with each other?
Yeah.
Okay, I will pretend he's my dad. He said he's my dad. I'm going to go along with it.
Yeah, rather than being like, he's not my dad, he's a stalker or something like he's dangerous, rather than like, yes, he is my former partner. Our alliance is dissolved. However, if he comes up with a backstory, I'm going to honor it.
it's
the code.
Yeah,
it is liar's code. Yeah.
And I guess if I were coaching that improv scene, I would be like, hey, I am glad you took on that reality that you make your teammate look like a genius.
Yes, he is my father and he's abusive.
They gave you a gift and you took it.
Yeah, you dig it on and you play it. Yep.
Summer in this episode, real quick, before you,
but Summer in this episode is kind of on like an E.T. Steven Spielberg style adventure where she's just riding her bike around the city, like just investigating.
Yeah. 100%.
I wanted to say real quick, Matt, when she approaches Matt, she's like, hey, come help me. And then she's like, it's your day off, right? And I was like, but he goes along with it. I'm like, why is he just like, okay, yeah, sure.
That really bumped for me too.
Yeah,
it's my day off.
Yeah,
it's my day off. You didn't bring me $100. I guess I'm in on your crazy
adventure. This stuff. Remember, like a couple episodes, there was one in which their funding was going to get cut, and they were like, "We basically can't afford to have lifeguards patrol the beach." They're like, "So if you want to come and work for free, we can't make you. But if you don't, people are going to die.
They're going to drown."
It's just like very manipulative.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
So then Henry rides up to Baywatch HQ as Summer gets there. Then she says she saw Rachel or Nancy, and then Henry is listening for himself, and this is when he takes the long walk to the car.
Really, best shot of the whole episode. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So then we see the crate, and she opens it and she finds a bunch of porcelain dolls, and then she's like, here, you take one. They're worth way more than $100.
Are they? I don't know. Are they? We don't know.
Porcelain dolls can be quite valuable depending on the rarity. Yeah. But there's
value just in these dolls too, not just the diamonds.
That was my question. Do we have diamonds in every one of these dolls or was just
no,
this
No, remember, it's like which one has it. One has the diamonds. Yeah.
But she just hands him one.
Yeah.
Did she shake it? How does she know it's not the diet?
Yeah.
Actually, she seemed to know which one it was because he forces her. Yeah.
That's right. Like whatever dress or whatever was on it. Yeah. But yeah, these dolls, if they're worth over $100, there was like 20 in there or something, right? So that's like $2,000.
Yeah.
Dolls are great too.
Yeah. You do have to like find someone who like wants it.
Porcelain doll dealer.
Yeah.
I know. Matt kind of just accepted it.
The value is,
I would have been like, what? I don't want this doll. Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's very scary.
Give me my money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just take the $100.
Yeah.
So,
no, thank you.
The dad comes in with a gun and it's Sam. And he's like, hello, Linda.
I love this turn. Look, it's corny. It's cartoony, but I loved it. For Baywatch, it's perfect.
It was perfect.
I also like that he's on the phone with his, like, I guess, dealer or whatever, and he's like, just shut up and listen to me.
Yeah, what was that guy saying? Is that the sunglasses guy? That's like, he's just getting yelled at.
Yeah.
I'll be there in exactly 1 hour. And then he must have to update it once he finally finds out how fast that boat goes. He's like, okay,
it's going to be 2 hours.
It's
not happening. So then, the diamonds are in one of the dolls. And then he's like, you're looking at the greatest con artist in the world, a child prodigy. And he says that it's her partner, and he got greedy and ripped him off in Hong Kong. So they were in Hong Kong.
They were in Hong Kong. That's how she knows which doll. Yeah.
She packed it and shipped it to herself. Okay. Mm-hmm. She really could have
just taken it with her.
Gone on the yacht.
Gone on the yacht?
Yeah.
Feels like there's easier ways to do this con.
Right. Yeah.
She's like, I think I'm just going to sit on a wall and wait.
Till it gets her.
Till it gets there. Yeah. So then. He's like, give me the diamonds or I'll shoot your friend. She says, go ahead. You think I care what happened to him?
That's a great choice. I love these voices they're doing.
Shoot
also, it's funny. He starts counting, but he doesn't say what he's counting to.
Yeah.
He starts going one.
Yeah.
It might have been to 100. We don't know.
He's like, she's calling his bluff. He's like, all right, we'll keep going.
I had not thought of that.
No countdown. And then she says, don't do anything stupid, okay? I'll give you the doll. And they find the doll, and he pulls out the pouch, and he pours them into his hand. He's super happy.
It's a lot of diamonds.
It's a lot of diamonds.
It is, yeah.
It's a lot, yeah. Great clarity on those babies, too, from what I could see. Seems like
they looked almost right through plastic.
Them. Yeah, it seemed almost, yeah. Almost like Mancala beads. So then Sam ties the boat. And he's got Matt and Linda tied up inside. And then this is when he takes the slow drive out from the dock. And Mitch and Noomi find out the boat left 15 minutes ago. And he sees a boat and he waves it over. So this is his faster getaway boat, apparently. So I guess I'm trying to figure out. It was like, I will meet you in the middle of the water.
How?
Yeah.
So it felt like it. In my head, it was like, There's different laws in the water.
Maritime ocean. Yeah.
Maritime law.
Oh yeah, maritime law.
And so it was like, don't pick me up on land.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You
could be right.
Yeah.
I do wonder though how they met though, right? Because the ocean's huge.
Yeah.
Like what was the plan? Like,
no, don't you remember he only had to go to the beach to find this girl.
That's true.
You just have to be in the water.
Yeah.
And that's what he was yelling to that guy. He's like, what do you mean where in the ocean? Just go to the beach and look out to the water. And that's where I'll be.
Whenever Baywatch is searching for a boat in the water, there's always one person scanning with binoculars who, after two sweeps, immediately sees
finds it.
And is like, there's the
boat. Wow.
And also, then before he gets onto his escape boat, he says, turns out, like, you could have been one of the greats. It turns out, it's too bad this had to turn out this way for you. And I thought he was going to, like, set the boat on fire or try to kill
him.
He's just like... Yeah. Bye. Like
he just leaves them tied up in the boat.
So I think he's hoping eventually they'll starve to death. Or like,
I also was like, "What did you think was going to happen to her?"
Yeah,
very confusing. Very.
Maybe
nice
I guess she'll get arrested, but like even then, it's like she'll be out in a little while. Mitch sees the boat and they head out to it, and he sees, and then as he's getting there, he's like Henry, and Henry just does the dopey put the gun behind the back trick.
Love it. Yeah. Also, kind of a weird edit, too, right? Because, like, they don't show him getting on the boat. You just next see Henry.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Henry. Yeah.
And yeah. then this is when he slips up and calls her the wrong name.
Yes.
I did Rachel, not catch
said,
that.
Yeah, he said something bad. I mean, happened. Matt and Rachel.
He says like, oh, I got it because he gave the wrong name. But I was just like, oh man, Mitch is good.
Yeah. And I also like the idea that Mitch probably thought he was going to just walk into like a gory bloodbath. He's like, there down below, something terrible happened. So he's just about to see just two dead bodies.
Yeah, decapitated.
And then he's just like letting Henry go. Henry's like, I don't know, something happened to them, but I got to get out of here. And he's like, all right, bye, Henry.
check it out.
But then he jumps on the boat and the boat speeds off. And Noomi chases them and Mitch and Sam fight over the gun. And then Mitch kicks him and makes him spill his diamonds. And he goes in for him. He's like, I so my hard diamonds.
At that. Yeah, he's like, my diamonds. Oh, jumps in there.
Do you guys think that was a stunt double that jumped into the water?
It looked like him, right?
It looked like him, but yeah. I was like, my God.
Bravo.
These actors.
Yeah.
Also, that seems like the most impossible thing to then try to find. They're way out in the ocean. A bag of diamonds falls in. Done. Yeah. You're not finding them.
Oh, it's so done.
It's like sinking right away.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they're loose. Like, and somehow one big diamond.
To put in a ring. Yeah. I was like, what is your relationship? I know. I was like, there's no way they're together.
Well, and then when he's like, are you conning me? And she's like, I was like, what the hell?
He doesn't like grab her or hug her or kiss her. He's just like, all right, let's keep walking.
Walk on the beach. So then Matt unties himself and Linda, and she wants to be untied, and then he decides to interrogate her. And she says her name is Linda, and he got her into this when she was young. So it is like a Fagin type situation. And she didn't know what she was doing. And Mitch comes in with his gun and says that Henry almost got away with it. He called her Rachel instead of Nancy. And Matt says, meet Linda. She's his partner. And then we cut to HQ. And Linda's out. Like, that's
she's
it.
She's out at this point.
Oh, yeah. Then we're done.
I just wanted to point out, I could tell that David Hasselhoff was so excited for that scene when he first goes in to see them and he's got his gun up. He was like really into it. It's just like, it was like, I'm in kind of spy thriller or something like this. He was loving that.
This is my James Bond. Yes.
And again, like based on his title and who he is, if Mitch went in there and shot someone, he would be arrested for murder because he's not a police officer. He's not authorized to carry a gun or shoot anybody in the course of his duty.
And I found
he's more dangerous than the rest.
Yes, but Baywatch is constantly playing cops. They're constantly breaking up international drug rings. They're like constantly finding themselves on one side of the lot. The one smart thing that Baywatch ever did, though, was remember the one time that the captain wanted to buy billy clubs. And then Mitch said no because we're not cops. But then otherwise, he's like, I'm gonna carry this gun. I've got it. I'm gonna use it.
Yeah.
So then this is when we cut to HQ, and this is the discussion about living together prior to marriage, which Gail didn't believe in it, and Stephanie says she doesn't either. And he's like, you know what? You need to lighten up. Don't be so analytical.
Chill out, Stephanie. It's only your life.
Yeah. Remember how insane you were acting last night? Remember how crazy you were? And then he says, go with the flow. Go with the flow. Let it happen and enjoy falling in love. And then this is the little fun prank that Scott's pulling, which is that he's coming to say goodbye, shipping out to Antarctica to an icebreaker. And then Mitch, I was like, I thought this was really callous before.
Before we know it's a prank.
Oh my God. He's like, the Stephanie Holden curse strikes again.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was so mean.
He hates her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many people hate each other on this show, it feels like, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of kindness going on between the series regulars.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
And he says, I'll think of you every day. And then they laugh and ha 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 ha.
and she called them con men as they ran away.
Everyone is called a con
man. And that was fun.
So, pulling a prank is a con, I guess, in a way.
For we laymen, it is.
Yep. And Summer wants Matt to die for the diamonds. And he's like, what is it with you? And she's like, I just want one to put in a ring. And he's like, He's like, is this a con? And she says, do I look like a con woman to you? And then she like runs away giggling. And he's like,
runs right off the show.
She's not funny, but she's mine.
She never comes back.
She never comes back. This is her last episode.
Was that her last episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is for real?
It is for real.
What a shitty episode they gave her.
Yeah.
She probably just didn't know that she wasn't coming back. You know, because
it was the end of the season.
This might have been shot earlier than other episodes, too.
Every actor that's ever been on Baywatch, you will read some interview with them in which them, like, that show was out of... Like, they'll basically just be like, what were we even doing on that show? Like, the two actors that Matt and Summer replaced have said the same thing where they're like, it's just like making a music video or something like that. I wanted to move on to other projects and then.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And Nicole Eggert actually, cause she had been on Charles in Charge before that. She's on a couple other things. Oh, Who's the Boss? It was Who's the Boss or Charles in Charge?
I think Charles in
Charge. Charles in Charge.
Cause it's Alyssa Milano and Who's the Boss.
Yeah. But yeah, and then she's been in a couple other things, but you know, it's like, I don't know, everyone thinks that Baywatch will be kind of a launch pad, and it does not. The one actor that is like a mega star that comes from the show doesn't show up for several seasons, but in Baywatch Hawaii, Jason Momoa is a main cast member.
That checks out. Well, he's a star.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's usually like a revolving door, especially from here out of models that were famous in the 90s. So like Yasmine Bleeth, Carmen Electra, there's like a few others that like come in and out for the rest of the run of the show. But that was season 4, episode 22, Guys and Dolls, the end of season 4.
Wow.
So
yes.
And now we have a couple of awards that we have to give out. You guys get to give out awards too.
Yes.
So our first award is our Hofsker, which is the best actor of the episode or best character. Like it's whatever your favorite guy or girl was.
Yeah.
Guy or doll. Right?
Or doll.
Guy,
yeah.
Guy or doll. Yeah.
I want to say Linda. Yeah. I thought she brought her. I thought she brought her A game.
I do too.
I'm gonna go Henry. Sam. Just the turn. Both of them was amazing. But like both of them, I think, you know, like just so that, you know, like because these awards are really important, but we can also spread them out. I think both of them as a 1-2 punch, that was great.
Agreed. Yeah.
I think I've done this once before, but I'm going to give it to two people, and it's the same that both that all of you did, Linda and Henry. They're fun characters. I thought both did a great acting job. Mm-hmm. Very enjoyable to watch. Love the turns. Yeah, they're so good.
I mean, they were lying so much. I mean, the amount of like mental gymnastics you're doing as that actor.
Yeah.
And impressive. I love. Like, for example, Dick Van Patten, who played Henry / Sam, is like, he was like the most lovable dad at the Baywatch headquarters. He's like almost goofy. Yeah. And then he's like this criminal from the 1940s.
Yeah.
It was great.
But he's not so ruthless that he would kill his partner.
That's true. He is.
Yes.
Yeah. Good point.
Good luck getting out of this.
He respects her.
Yeah.
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 He wanted to meet up again in many years.
I think
discuss.
So. Yeah.
Honorable mention.
Reminiscing about grifting.
Honorable mention for me, tractor driver.
Okay, honorable mention for me, boat mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Matt's so hot.
Matt did a great job. I didn't hear one word out of his mouth. He was so cute.
Yeah. I was daydreaming the whole time. Are your eyes real?
He's French-Canadian, so the actor is French-Canadian.
Yeah.
And his backstory
French.
Is that his dad is basically in the show is like Dalton Trumbo-esque. Like he is like a guy who's just constantly typing screenplays on an old-timey typewriter.
Yeah.
And he is written like, it's like 48 novels and like 62 screenplays.
Bunch of screenplays. It was an absurd number. So very impressive.
And then his mom is French. And so she's like super French. And at one point they want to move to Paris. And then Matt's like, nope, I'm not moving to Paris. And so then they repossess his motorcycle.
Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, they take away his motorcycle.
Yeah.
And it's just because he has a life here and he loves his life here.
He doesn't want, and yeah. So yeah. So now our Jilzy, which is our this award is named for the aforementioned Jill who was bitten by the shark and then died 3 days later of complications of shark bite. And she was not good.
Could be worst Jilzy. Acting job if you feel, or once again, it could be like worst character, something like that. Anything along those lines.
I'm gonna have to give it to Summer again.
I know. I feel bad. I don't want to give it to Summer. It's her last ep.
Right. Yeah. I know. Same.
I won't give it to Summer. Okay. I'll give it to. If I could do it this way, I'm gonna give it to Stephanie and Tom. Yeah. Was his name Tom?
Oh, Scott.
I was
Scott.
Gonna give Scott. It to Scott too.
As a as Scott a couple, I'm gonna give it to them as a couple because as a couple, I truly hate them.
Yeah. Stephanie like is a Scott. Tough character for me sometimes because she is extremely earnest. Like the character is extremely earnest, but there's something about it that is so cringe inducing for me.
At times it can be, yeah.
Like, is it often like that. Watching is very difficult. And this was certainly an episode in which like whatever that romance was, it almost felt like it was like a romance plucked out of like a Hallmark card, you know, like it was just one of those in which like it was chaste. It was very like almost like kind of Mormon. I don't know, like, you know, where she, it's just.
She feels like a very like 90s sort of Mormon actor, I think is like a good way to classify her.
Yeah.
That, and that she might even also like, and certainly not knowing anything about her backstory, you know, the actual actress, but. That she might also be inserting some of those morals into like, so like when they're like, she's like, hey, can we rewrite this a little bit so that I can talk about living with your spouse?
She kind of had Hillary Swank vibes to me.
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of that there. Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I'm going to give mine to Scott. When he came in at the end and was doing the like, I'm shipping off, just came by to say goodbye. There was like no emotion in anything. It's like, if you're going to do a prank, show some emotion like this tears my heart out. You're the love of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, but he seemed like he was like totally cool with it.
Totally.
So that's my,
you know what though? The crazy thing is that like watching it, I was like, oh yeah, like Baywatch needed a reason for him to leave.
Well, sure.
And I was like, I just bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Me too. 100%.
He's got to go to Antarctica. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's not a problem.
Yeah. He's not part of the show. He's got to go.
I bought it as well, but then I quickly was like, he's going to Antarctica, but that's not like U.S. He's a Coast Guard. I don't understand. It's not like part of the U.S. So I was like getting confused already. But then it turns out it was a prank.
You got
it. That's yeah.
So Hillary Swank has not been on Baywatch yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if she does.
Oh, yeah. She worked a lot at that time.
Isn't she too famous at that point? No.
She was doing like the next Karate Kid at that time. So she's like a younger. So we have had Michelle Williams, her first ever TV role. We've had Carrie Ann Moss.
Both of our favorite role we've seen on the show so far.
In which she plays a woman with split personality who gives each of them like 120%.
It's amazing. It's honestly, we both were like, you know what? I think this is, and she's great in The Matrix, but we're both like, I think this is her best acting. Yeah. This is so good.
Wow. One is an extremely like the Sleeping Beauty Evil Queen, like just like a mirror on the wall vanity type. And then the other one is an extremely meek and shy girl that's like kind of boy crazy. And then, and she's playing both of them at both times and switching between them
and
line
long
by
scenes
line.
And stuff. And
yes,
it's
exactly.
Holy shit.
It's amazing. We've had Elizabeth Berkley. We've had Danny Trejo. We've had a few.
This all checks out.
Yeah, that definitely feels like people are around in the 90s. But I would not be surprised if Hillary Swank shows up at some point in time.
I hope she does.
Best montage next. The ones that we have to pick from are water skiing, beach activities, and city activities. And football.
I gotta go with that water skiing one because it made no sense. Like, I understood the other two.
As an entry point into Baywatch, yes. I imagined myself in both of your heads watching from Hong Kong into water skiing and trying
to. And just like, that's not him being a lifeguard. That was just him playing around.
Just hanging out, yeah.
what I realized in the water skiing thing, just with the way the pace of it, I was like, is this not a 30-minute show? And it's not. No. And that was when I found it out, was as that was happening, I was like, they're taking their time getting into
is
this.
Is a 60-minute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give you 43. One more piece of information is that Baywatch is a 42-minute show, but we've had some that are like 38 minutes. And that
this
is
one was 38.
Was it
38?
I thought
I thought it was 40.
I thought 40. It was
actually, it might have been because I looked when I was already two minutes in or something. Like, okay. Excuse me.
Because 38 means there's missing footage because this is for the remaster. They had a couple of episodes because they were unable to cut around. Like, so all of the
music
songs,
rights,
like the one
like
we heard when they're doing the thing, is a brand new song that was written in like 2018 for the remaster. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So if there was one in which someone performs one on screen, they'll just cut that. But sometimes it will contain important plot elements that we will just be like, what the hell is going
What's
on?
What's going on
so
here?
We'll have to find a less than repeatable way to see the original. And
that's really funny.
One of my favorites was we had this one where it was like a high school reunion for Mitch. And then at the very end of the episode, he's like, someone's like, how was your weekend, Mitch? And then he has flashbacks to everything that happened. And one of them is this mysterious woman that gives him a look. And we're all like, who was that? Found out it was cut out. All of her scenes were cut out. It was like, that's kind of sucks.
Yeah.
They cut out every one of her scenes.
She was like an old flame. Yeah. But because she was always adjacent to or intercut with music that had to be cut, they just cut everything except for that last shot of him hugging her. And then we're like, who the hell was that?
What? Yeah.
Wild.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's an important thing for actors out there. If you're shooting something on a TV show and they're like, they want to play music that you're like, I know that song, tell them to shut that off.
Yeah.
I don't want that in my scene.
I don't want that in my scene.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yes.
You're not going to cut me that easily is what I'm going to yell.
I'm going to go football.
Mm. Yeah, I think same. These weren't like the most fun montages, but I like the confusion of it, which we talked about, where they just walk into a game.
Yeah.
How aggressive.
I know.
Yeah.
Especially like on like your like third date or something like that. It's like so just like aggressive. Like this is when you're putting your best foot forward.
But that's all they had. More sports.
Yeah.
It seemed like it, right? Yeah.
It is the one sanctioned contact that they can have.
Yeah.
It's wild to think of that. Like, if let's say this is a date, it's kind of, you know, what your choice for a date, but you're like, we're going to go play handball. And then you have this game, get really tired, and you're like, what do you want to do next? Let's go play basketball. Yeah. Like, no one says that, right? That's
no
like,
one says
what?
That.
No.
Yeah.
And then, I also do think they were like, even in the basketball thing, I was like, everyone behind them seemed to be like the regulars that were always there playing basketball.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they're just taking up a court, and they're just doing like, shoot around. Like, you know.
Everybody hated them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, including, me.
Including
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then finally, we'll rate the episode. This is on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs. 6 is the high end of the scale, 1 being the low.
6. I mean, this was phenomenal. This was insane.
I think I'm going to give this one a 6 too, Zach.
Ooh, wow.
A perfect score.
I don't have anything to say against it. I think especially as a way to go out of season 4, I think even like as infuriating and nothing that the Stephanie plotline was, it was so like wacky and stupid that I was like, yeah, I like the Linda, Ed, you know, Nan, like all worked for me. It's great. I'm like, sure. I'm probably, you know, like, and this, to be honest, this show has melted my brain. I don't know. I can't, whatever. I don't know if it's good or not, you know?
Well, on our own podcast, I'm constantly trying to fight rating inflation. Mm-hmm. So I will also give it a 6. I will also give it a 6 out of 6 Hasselhoffs.
Okay. Fair enough.
If it earns it, it earns it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes,
I hear you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 6 too then. I think I was going to say more like 5 or 5.5, but this is 6. It's a 6, right?
Yeah. You got it. I don't think
there's any denying it.
I was similarly at first was like probably a 5, but then thinking about it, it's true. Even the Stephanie stuff that bothered me.
God.
It serves a purpose.
Yeah, yeah, like,
it felt like a real like baby.
I would have liked it less if the Stephanie stuff was better. Just being honest, I'm like, I want Baywatch to be bad. Like, the more bad I can watch the episode, I'm like, hell yeah, this rules. A perfect sixer. Wow.
Wow. Amazing.
On your birthday. Wow.
It's a dream.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Yeah. We should have all picked 5.5 because the birthday boy gets.
No.
Yeah, that's true. You should have dictated.
No. Yeah. I like six. Kind of like Charlie said, too. It's the end of this season, so why not? It's fun.
Yeah.
So. Same things. I don't know. It was enjoyable. There wasn't anything. Sometimes when I try to drop scores, I'm like, there's like, you know, for the fact that we have the introduction of the dolls and then you don't find out till like 25 minutes later. I'm like, that's not really good writing. But you know what? In Baywatch, it's perfect writing.
It's perfect writing. Yeah. Yes.
I think I was just like so thrilled that such big swings were happening.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. They're taking swings. Yeah. They're taking more swings in the back half of this season four. I'm looking forward to where it goes from here. We'll start with season five next week, and then after season five we're doing season one of Baywatch Nights, which I'm really excited for. So there's a spinoff show called Baywatch Nights in which Mitch is a private eye.
Oh, well, because he's dying to be.
They give the people what they want.
So and I think there's like some supernatural elements, like an X-Files-ish type bend, and it's like
add it all in.
Was there a spinoff, Frasier Nights? And what would that be like?
I think that's what the reboot is. Frasier Nights. Yeah.
Frasier Nights. Yeah.
And it's going to be like a little more Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Victoria and Talia, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much.
This was so much fun.
Thank you.
Having us. This was such a ball. Oh my God.
It was. It was really fun to watch an episode.
Yeah.
It was so great having you here. And we teased it a little bit, but where can people find you?
They can find us on Instagram at Friends Talk Frasier or Twitter. Same.
Yes.
And on probably all podcast platforms.
Yeah.
Unless they just want to check out your Instagram, which is fine. But
I always think of like that's where they go to find that doesn't make any sense. Victoria, help me.
You're right. Our podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Friends Talk Frasier .. and Feelings. And it'd be us. And it's very similar, except for it's about Frasier, which I gotta say is more normal than Baywatch.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say for the better.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would say it might be, which is why the feelings is really important, right?
The feelings are important.
Zach and I don't get to talk about feelings all that much because we're so busy talking about all this crap.
There's no feelings in Baywatch.
I've been dying to talk about
my
feelings.
There's too much to talk about. Too much,
too much to talk about.
We just don't have time.
Nope.
Well, this was so much fun.
So much fun.
Thank you again. And Zach, we'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Baywatch Watch.
Yeah.
And until then, stay wet!
When the waves are crashing!
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.